TGS, TGIF. That's what we're saying today. The Georgia Show. Thank God it's Friday. Welcome in, as always. I'm Jake Roos. He's Jake Rowe. We are with Dogs HQ, and we are joining you tonight, presented by American Pride Bank. Our friends over there, appreciate them as always. Look, if you're looking for some localized banking solutions, whether it's small business, whether it's personal banking, et cetera, your banking needs can be handled by the friends, our friends, the friends at American Pride Bank. They have offices in Alpharetta, Athens. You can get with them online at AmericanPride.bank as well. They've got a number of different services. And the great part is you talk to decision makers along the way when it comes to American Pride Bank. Get with them today. See how they can help you out over at American Pride Bank. They are member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. Jake Rowe, it's here, man. Unbelievable. The Georgia Bulldogs got preseason camp underway on Thursday. The full media session, got a chance to go out and see some practice. I mean, it's for real, man.
Yeah, and I got to say, one of the coolest parts about it is the fact that we met with Kirby and 11:30. It was done by 12:30, and they had us out there at practice by 2:30. Which wow. And then, you know, practice report was up by 3:30. You know, just all sorts of half-hour stuff going on here. But very quick, I think it had a lot to do with the fact that that Rusty was there, and they wanted to be respectful of Rusty's time. You know, that's just the way that stuff goes. You know, no, I think Rusty and I were able to sneak in a quick lunch at Grindhouse between the Kirby session and the other stuff, kind of talk shop for a little bit. But I really do think they were trying to get out there in the heat of the day is what I think they were trying to get done. I think Kirby wants to embrace the heat. I think he wants to kind of embrace what's going on out there right now, which is, you know, the sizzling hot summer that's about to cool off. We're going to get a cool weekend, it looks like. But I do think they're trying to get as much of that as they can. He loves that adversity. He kind of likes to push the players through it. And I think that's especially the case when they don't have a marquee opener, when they've got Marshall coming up. It just kind of bring some adversity in and kind of push them through it. And I think that'll be a big part of this offseason.
Like Kirby Smart. Well, like Jake Roos, Kirby Smart loves the heat. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I love he loves the heat. No, it was like horseradish, do you think? You think he likes horseradish?
I think so. He seems like a guy of taste to me.
Next time we'll ask him.
Yeah, please do. Please use media time to do that.
I mean, what you think of horseradish?
Yeah. No, it sounded like too. I mean, everything we had over at Dogs HQ, get over and check it out, first off, is what I would say, because you loaded up a stupid practice report. Just an unreal amount of information. Rusty Mansell came in with the Rusty's ramblings as well, added to that. So between the two, I'd say there's about, 2,000, 2,500 words over there to go check out when it comes to the Dogs and day one on the field. Jake, I've said this before, and I would be curious to know how you felt about it going into this, that this to me is one of the more interesting camps I feel like they've had in some time.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that. By the way, check this out.
Oh, my God.
Look at this.
It took me a second. I was like, who the hell is that?
That's how I get Zay Gibson, baby. And Madozzi's back here with some stuff going on, too. Now, we were having this conversation over the dog walk about Isaiah Gibson, and I posted a photo of him, and he's long. Like, his arms, I mean, he looks like he's, you know, scratching his ankles. And somebody was like, they didn't think he, you know, looked particularly jacked. And some dude went to ChatGPT and made that happen. So I had to post that real quick, get that in there. I'm wondering if I don't know if we saw the coach over here. I wonder if he's benefiting from the jackness too.
I don't know. I probably wouldn't go that far. He might.
He looks a little more natty, doesn't he?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, and I just thought that was funny, but, What were you even saying, by the way? I had that on my
mind. I was just saying that I guess my feeling going into this has been one of the more interesting camps in the Kirby Smart era.
Sure. And we talked about this last show. It's not that I think there's that much up for grabs. You're in preseason camp with about as many position battles as you normally do. You know, four or five different position battles you're looking at. Your right guard, safety.
Which is crazy. I mean, that's crazy to think about considering you lost four guys to the league on the offensive front. And we're only talking about really one job that's up for grabs.
That's right. Yeah, and that's kind of been my contention all offseason is Monroe Freeling's got a lot of snaps. Ernest Green's got a lot of snaps. Both of those guys have shown you they can play at a high level. Micah Morris has, Ronald Reagan was calling the shots whenever he signed with Georgia. Micah Morris is 64 years old. He's been around forever. Talked to us today in media day. Had some glowing things to say, by the way, about the coaching staff additions this offseason, the support staff additions, and we'll get into that. But a lot of experience up there. Everybody on the offensive line's got at least two starts under their belt and has played at least 300 or 400 snaps in their career. And I think that's, maybe Drew Bobo is not quite that high, maybe around 200 snaps. But either way, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better setup losing four guys. You got four guys that are in training camp right now that started for Georgia last year. And three of them went on day two of the draft. So, all things considered, so you're looking at the O-line. I mean, receiver is kind of a open position battle across the board, but I think everybody understands you've got about five, six guys there that come back you're expecting to play. Gunnar Stoughton's kind of got the quarterback thing. You got a backup running back job that's up for grabs. On the defensive side of the ball, outside backer, safety. Outside backer, safety, maybe a little bit star, but, based on what we saw today, and I'll let this tidbit go, Jonel Aguero was working at star along with Rashawn Dinkins and Jaden Harris, and that was it. Neither one of those guys are threatening Jonel Aguero for that spot right now. So
I'm a little surprised. I wondered if we might see a guy like Adrian Maddox.
I did too. Yeah, because he played there in the G-Day game, and that may be there. They may flip flop, and he may. We're looking at individual drills. You can't be two places at one time, right? So they may be just kind of getting him ready to compete at safety. I don't know. But you're right. It's still with all of those things in the regular amount of position battles going on, it does really seem like an intriguing preseason because, you want to see what you hear about Gunnar Stoughton. You got some new additions like Noah Thomas and Zach Branch and Ella Madozi and Joshua Harris and Josh McCray. All of those guys are expected to play some meaningful minutes for you this year, in addition to Zion Branch and Adrian Maddox. So there are a lot of new players. And, the one thing I will say, and I want to get into this for just a second, Kirby Smart made a big deal has been made of the 54% thing of guys being in their first or second year. I would like to go back and see how much of that is normally the case, because if you think about it, freshman, sophomore, and I know red shirts and stuff play into this too, but you get freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, take 25 a class, or split the team up, split 85 into quarters at that point, you're going to have a lot of first and second year players. They haven't had time to transfer out. They haven't had time to get poached by the NFL draft. I don't necessarily know. I mean, I would bet that Georgia's been over 50% before. I mean,
Kirby said, and I don't know how we would get all the statistics on this. It would be a lot of numbers to look at, and maybe somebody at the national level.
We don't have Palmer Toms anymore, so
this is a perfect Palmer Toms thing.
This Palmer Toms deal right here. We miss you, Palmer. We love you.
Kirby mentioned that he said, "I don't think that's probably outrageous compared to other people. I think that a lot of people probably find themselves in a very similar setup in that regard." And I would probably agree with him. I think that a lot of teams, especially your high level teams, right, are probably in that same category. I would assume that there are probably a few that are maybe a little more junior and senior dense, but I would think that those teams are not necessarily what you would consider maybe top 25s, because a lot of those guys who are transferring at that age, I think, are looking for film or maybe a better, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like it's more of an opportunity for them to showcase themselves a little bit more than Georgia might be.
Yeah, totally. And another thing I'll point to as well, Georgia had a lot of early entries to the NFL draft this past year. I mean, you know, all three guys that got drafted in the first round left early. Then, you know, Jared Wilson left early. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Dylan Fairchild could have stuck around as well. I think Tate Ratledge was done. Actually, Tate Ratledge might have been able to come back because he's a 2020 guy. So, but you're getting to the point where they're filtering out the COVID guys. They're filtering right. out the guys that signed in 2020.
Yeah, this is the last year of them, I believe.
I believe so, yeah. I believe Micah Morris is the last one hanging around for Georgia, you know, decades back. I mean, I can't believe – I mean, that guy's still at Georgia. It's unbelievable. He's been there as long as Stetson was. And it's – but, no, there's certainly a young team, and, you know, Kirby highlighted that. You know, there was a lot of different stuff. And we'll get to kind of those Kirby highlights, you know, for sure, and from the ones from the players as well. But before we do that, I do want to get into this real quick. Your favorite preseason camp memories. We covered some preseason camps together, not necessarily working together, but, you know, kind of just being up there and dealing with the grind. What are your favorite preseason camp memories?
Easily Mark Richt yelling at you.
Yeah, that was good.
That's the greatest of all time. There's no story will really ever be better than that. Because, you know, I mean, he was Mark Richt, just this revered nice guy, and the one, and I mean, just absolutely crawled you, dude. I mean, just got all over you. I know that camera can take 1,000 pictures in a second. I believe it was something to the effect of what he said.
That's about a $600 camera, Coach. I mean, I wasn't one of those big daddies.
The part that really made it, though, was you coming back to the room. And, I mean, I'm talking about flustered as I've ever seen buddy. You, man. Just, I mean, throwing stuff around and, like, whatever, man. I can't do it. Like, it was awesome.
It was like that time that your car alarm went off when you couldn't get it to go off and you just busted in your door. So who knows, man?
The Richt one was great. The Richt one was great. My other favorite preseason camp memory, and I remember it very vividly, was one of the – I believe it was the first camp I covered, actually, was Jeremy Pruitt yelling at Shaq Jones.
Yeah.
And I remember he
– Daytona.
Yeah, he said, "I'll send your ass back to Daytona." And I was like, this guy's crazy. Like,
he told it may have been Shaqiri Wilson. I can't remember who it was, but he was like, if you don't drop your weight and break down, you see that guy over there? That's Nick Chubb. He'll hit you in your mouth and run out your butt.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, he was unhinged. He was very much unhinged when he was coaching out there, and he coached really hard. But he was a very entertaining cat. My favorite one is that same preseason camp where I got yelled at by Coach Richt. I got towed as well. I got towed from the front.
Yeah, that's right.
I got my car towed. But I was in good company because Todd Gurley got towed too.
I remember that.
Yeah. And Rusty and I were talking about it today because we walked up to Grindhouse and you know, you kind of Schumann Services is right down there as well where they tow your car to. And I remember going in there and you had to pay cash to get your car out of Hawk. Todd had the cash. Now we all know why. We found that out a few weeks later. Jake did not have cash. I had to go hit up an ATM machine that probably charged me about $15 in fees for my $120.
Where you even had to go, man. Like, you would have probably had to gone into 5 points. Like,
I went up I walked all the way up to the Shell station.
Yeah,
there are 5 points and hit the ATM.
That was a rough one for you. That was a rough camp for you.
It was.
I'll tell you what was not a great camp was when we had to get on the buses.
That sucked.
That was terrible. And it was so hot out there. It was, I mean, it's hot on the practice fields, but God, it was hot out there.
It's like a Rage Against Machine on the Godzilla soundtrack. It was like no shelter here.
Yeah, absolutely. There
was nowhere to hide from the heat out there on those practice fields. And Tracy Rocker was just out there loving it, just out there loving the misery. That man loves some misery. Got some good stories about him from the camp setting and stuff like that. But preseason camps rife with memories. You know, covered them less since Kirby took over, because slowly, and I think COVID kind of allowed him to do this the way he wanted to do this. But we've slowly gotten a little bit less and less access. And now we've got to the point where we may talk to Kirby and players twice a week. And we get a couple of days at the beginning of camp to watch some stuff. But yeah, that's about it. Now I will say this, and I'll go ahead and reveal this to everybody. You know that open practice they did last year for the collective? Yeah, I got in with a friend and watched that whole thing. I even got spotted, I'm pretty sure. Somebody sent Rusty a text and was like, "Hey, Jake Rose here with a Titleist hat, isn't he?" And Rusty said, "I hope so." Rusty said, "I hope so." So we had a really robust practice report that day. I was just sitting there sending Palmer voice memos. So
I don't think that's the worst thing personally. I mean, preseason camp is, I don't know, man. It's like the G-Day game to some degree. Like you're limited in what you're going to see. They're going to show you what they want to. A lot of it's probably going to be stretching, or, you know, guys running a little bit, or I don't know. I mean, Kirby is very protective of that, to no one's shock and surprise. I mean, that's how he handles.
You want to get photos like this. You're going to get these photos. Look at those quads on that dude.
Yeah. No, that looks like Nick Chubb's quads. It's a special time. And honestly, it's something the thing that I miss most about covering preseason camp, and I don't do it because I live 2.5 hours away from camp now, but I miss just seeing everybody, because at the end of the day, the beat's like a big family, and it's always cool to like get back in and see everybody.
Just go ahead and say names. Dean Leggy.
Of course.
Yeah, Matt, Coach
Mark. I always wait for Mark Weiser to slide by and say something sly.
Yeah, he's going to say something slick. Mark Weiser's a good time. Bark After Dark alum. We appreciate him for coming on. I'm the same way. I do like being around the guys, and I certainly like preseason camp a lot better than covering G-Day and covering SEC media days. 100% for sure. Like those things kind of suck, but one thing about it is it's always hot. It's always hot for preseason camp. I mean, we've never had a camp where it was like, man, this is kind of cool. It's got some good weather for this camp. No, that didn't happen.
Athens is stupid. Yeah. What's not stupid though is saving 20% with our code at sunheist.com. Look, you want to talk about getting out in the heat, you're going to need some good shades. Sunheist.com, the place to go and grab them. 20% off right now with code DOGSHQ20, DAWGSHQ20, gets you 20% off your purchase. They got a number of different styles. You can customize just out the wazoo. They're a local to Athens business. They're a Georgia-based business. I mean, they out of Jefferson, they are dog people, and they love the Peach State, man. They give back. They got a great product at a great price. Get over, check out sunheist.com today, support a Georgia business, and get yourself some great shades, man. At the end of the day, they are a high-quality product.
No doubt about it. And friends over at Redstone, which may be getting close to announcing something we got going with them for the fall, which is also kind of on 129. I think it's actually maybe even over the Clark County line or right there at it. If you ever want to go try them out, they are a retailer of Sunheist. So if you're swinging by there and you say, "Hey, I want to see what Sunheist is all about. I want to touch these things, kind of feel how good they are," go over to Redstone, go check them out. So, definitely do that and keep an eye out for some news about what Dogs HQ might have going on at Redstone come this fall. So I think we're going to have a good time out there. So highlights from today, Kirby talked for 20 minutes, kind of gave the gamut. I did not get asked about injuries, which was surprising.
I looked through all the notes and I was like, surely to God, someone asked about injuries.
Nah, he even started the press
conference. You're on top of your game there on the beach.
Here's what's crazy. You couldn't get the microphone. All right. Like I'm going to bring a machete next time and just like wield it and see if I can get people to give me the microphone.
Who's the new Claude Felton?
Leland's handling everything.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Leland's handling most of that. And, But yeah, so there's not, it was tough to get the microphone today and nobody asked about it. But Kirby started the whole press conference by saying, after his opening statement, he goes, "All right, I'll leave it to you guys. You can ask about injuries or whatever." And nobody ever did. Now, I think it might have had something.
A little reverse psychology there.
Yeah, totally. Kirby, you know, is Italian barbecue.
Yeah.
You know?
he
got us. One of the things I will say, and I think this deterred it more than anything else, is he came out and he literally said this is the healthiest they've entered preseason camp in the last several years, which was, I don't know, maybe that kind of, made people to where they didn't really want to, be prying on kind of what Kirby had going on. I don't know. But ultimately, I do think that's a big deal, and really only noticed one absence while I was out there today. And I'll say this, too. And by the way, if you're watching this on Friday morning, we're recording this on Thursday night, we're kind of having to make this happen in due time. But when I was out there, one of the things I noticed, didn't see Josh McCray. Come to find out he's got an illness. So it's not an injury. That's really the only guy I didn't really pick up on being out there. So everybody looked pretty healthy, looked like they were kind of giving it a go. I'm sure some guys are kind of sore, got some soft tissue stuff going on, but that was kind of one of the highlights. The other is what I mentioned earlier. Michael Morris used the word irreplaceable when he was talking about Phil Rauscher, who is the longtime NFL coach, 16 years of NFL experience, who is on Georgia's support staff now. Kirby at first called him and John Lilly both great assets in the run game. Both of them bring different ideas. They bring different techniques than what Georgia's used to, and some of more than what they've done in the past. But Michael Morris talking about his ability to pick Phil Rauscher's brain, all the time and kind of ask questions and get into that. I mean, it certainly sounded to me, Jake, like a guy that had actually, put that to practice, who had actually tested that theory out. And, I think if Georgia fans are the fans that are talking about the run game and talking about Stacey Searles and Mike Bobo, listen, there's no need to fight about it anymore. We've got a season to get through, and that's that. But I think if you're looking for a reason for optimism on how things could be different or how things could be better, they were open to bringing in new ideas and maybe some more versatility to that run game. And it sounds like Phil Rauscher has certainly been an asset for the Bulldogs, already this offseason.
I mean, 16 years in the NFL, man. The guy has what guys want. I mean, he knows how to do it at that level very clearly. And I mentioned on the board earlier today, I understand, look, you're not a Mike Bobo fan. You're not a Stacey Searles fan. Okay, people don't like retreads. I get that. John Lilly, I think, is a great addition to this staff. He knows Georgia
inside. He's a staff for 100%. I mean, I'm a coach too, but.
Yeah, I mean, a tremendous, tremendous addition. I've never heard anybody say a cross word about John Lilly.
I've known John Lilly a long time. They don't get much better, man. They just don't get better people. And, I know Todd Monken speaks highly of John Lilly. They worked on the same staff there in Cleveland.
Good recruiter in his own right as well. Well in the North Carolina corridor.
Yeah, and Roquan Smith as well. Terry Godwin. He spearheaded those recruitments. John Lilly was, in a lot of ways, Todd Hartley. Without the Kirby Smart wind at his back. Was kind of that guy that Georgia, he recruited his position at a high level. Say what you want about how things panned out for him at Georgia, but Isaac Nauta, Jeb Blazevich, all of those guys were absolutely stud recruits. Orson Charles, go down the line. But ultimately, also a guy that called plays for Georgia in a couple of bowl games, and Georgia was either just as good or better than they had been before. In that point, I'm actually a little bit shocked, and I don't know, maybe it's some of his own doing, maybe it's the fact that he coaches tight ends, but I've always been kind of surprised by the fact that Lilly never got a chance to call plays.
Yeah, no, for sure. I can see that. Did anybody ask about Thacker?
No, but he's been around. He's been around. He was on the support staff last year, I want to say.
Okay, but now he's like on field, right?
No, not really. Not technically. I mean, he's still an off-field coach. They've got all they need as far as they've got their 10 on-field coaches. But here's the deal now. Like, the analysts can coach on the field in practice now.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter. He's out there coaching a position. When I was talking about the stars a minute ago, he was actually out there working with the star position one-on-one. But as far as, you know, the full scope of being an on-field coach, which is the ability to leave campus and go recruit, he can't do
that. Yeah. No, I'm just talking about him strictly working. Yeah. And I guess he could have done that, like you said, as a support staff member now.
They had the D-line split up into two groups today, and there was another guy there that looked like he'd been coaching D-line for about 30 years that was also working with Trey Scott. So, I mean, you know, they've got some coaches out there. Phil Rauscher was out there hands-on. John Lilly was too.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, those additions are very key. And another thing that I picked up on in your notes, especially, was some of your reaction to the newcomers on the field. Some new additions, the transfer guys especially. Sound like Madozi was looking pretty good out there. And I believe you said Josh Horton looked pretty good on the hoof as well.
Yeah, Josh Horton wearing number 81. Very, I mean, almost hard to tell him and Reggie Davis apart. Be honest.
Yeah, sure.
Number 81's at Georgia. I think Aaron White also wore number 81, but he's out there wearing number 81. Good looking player. It's had a really good offseason from everything we've heard. We've had some scoop on him over at Dogs HQ. So yeah, he's certainly in the picture too. And there's a lot of second year players, and if you count Horton, a third year player, and then an elite first year player there in Elijah Griffin, who I really think Georgia's got some intriguing depth at that spot, you know, and you know, a mix of kind of elite talent and guys that have played some ball and been out of high school at least a year. And I'm interested to see how all of that plays out, because I know that Georgia would love to be able to trust all of those guys and just kind of play matchups there, you know, kind of the bigger guys, you know, you got teams that want to run it right at you. You kind of play Nasir Johnson and Nnamdi Ogboko a little bit more. If you want to try to work up field a little bit more and get to a point in the game where you can rush the passer, Elijah Griffin and Jordan Thomas are kind of
problems. Joseph Jonah Janye looked pretty good.
Yeah, Joseph Jonah Janye is correct when he tells his teammates about his genetics. He is freakish. He is a big time. I mean, 18 years old and looks like he's been in the NFL for about 5 years. He is a very different human being out there. And the really good part about that is he appeared to be limitless in terms of, you know, the foot injury and the surgery that he had, and that navicular deal that they can kind of go through can kind of take some time to get through. And it seems like he's done a good job healing from it. And Georgia needs that, because I do believe when you start talking about the core group of defensive linemen, Christian Miller, Xavier McLeod, Jordan Hall, who is also in tremendous shape. And then you've got I consider Joseph Jonah Janye to be part of that group, because I do think they're going to lean on him to play a lot of defensive end this year, along with Gabe Harris. So they've got a really good group there. And I think Josh Horton will be in that group. And then you've got, what is it, three more, or maybe is it four more? Jordan Thomas, Nasir Johnson, Nnamdi Ogboko are your second year guys. You want to get a couple of those guys to step up too. And I know they're going to find a way to get Elijah Griffin on the field right away, because – listen, number one D lineman in the country, he didn't come cheap, and they're going to want to figure out what they've got, get him rolling, make sure he's ready to go for year two and to be a superstar.
Just get the snaps out of him. I mean, you're not going to get him for 4 years, so just do what you got to do.
He's going to be holding up a jersey next to Roger Goodell in 3 years, and if he doesn't, it's nothing Georgia's done or Elijah's done. It's just he got some bad injury luck.
Sure. I am curious, Jake, about what you saw from the pass catchers. Anybody who kind of grabbed your attention there in terms of the size? There's been a lot of additions, man. I mean, they brought in a big freshman class. They brought in two highly recruited transfers as well. Tight end room added two really good players in Elias Williams and Ethan Barbour. What kind of what grabbed you about that?
I don't know. I'm having a little bit too much fun. You know, I only watched the tight ends. I never really got a chance to watch the receivers because we didn't get to see routes on air or anything like that. You know what? Jaden Riddell always stands out, and he's always kind of a guy there. I will say this from a talking perspective, man, I thought Oscar Delp had a little piss and vinegar going on. Like he was kind of, at least to start with, I think he was very serious, very short. I came back for a reason. I was around when we won a national championship. I know what it takes. You have to do things differently to win a national championship. And I thought that, you know, throw that on top of what Kirby said about Oscar being kind of one of the most improved players in the offseason in terms of weight room. And even I want to say Micah Morris also mentioned kind of the or maybe it was Raylan Wilson also said, you know, had to mention the fact that he had put in so much work. I think, you know, Oscar Delp is a guy that I don't know. The more I think about it and the more I, you know, kind of I've always had this saying that nothing can replace that sense of urgency and knowing that the time is up. Like, this is it. And nothing can kind of prepare you for that. It's almost like wait until, you know, for me in college, wait until the last minute to write a paper. Sure. You know, that I was always going to get it done, you know, at the last minute. And I didn't always do it that way. Yeah, I didn't always do it that way, but 95% of the time I did, and it was because I knew when I was up against it that I would finish it, that I would get it done. So, and I think that's, you know, I don't know. He was real candid in the spring when he said last year at times I felt like I had one foot out the door, and it wasn't until late in the season that I kind of come to the realization that it wasn't my best. And, you know, for him to kind of come in to make those strides in the offseason, I think that's good news for Georgia. I really do, because the offense is at its best at Georgia when the tight end's clicking. And Oscar made some big plays for Georgia last year. When you look at the Tennessee game, those two touchdowns he had there, and he had the touchdown against Georgia Tech. We kicked the wall in, and you know, Georgia makes that comeback. You know, I think Oscar is a key piece for Georgia this year.
Not only is he – I mean, not only is he running – I mean, not only is time up, but he's in a very similar situation to a guy like Daniel Harris or even Dalen Everett, where the guys that you have nipping at your heels are as good as you are, if not better. You know, so you've got to just outwork them. I mean, from a talent perspective, I mean, Oscar Delp is an experienced and very good tight end. He's not the physical freak that a guy like Elias Williams is. He's probably not even the physical freak that a guy like Jaden Riddell is. But
yeah, and experience is on his side, but at the same time, like, if you want to string together three or four bad practices, you can watch those guys go right by you, and you might not catch them again.
Right, exactly. So yeah, 100%. Yeah, that creates its own urgency as well. You know, clock's ticking, and then also you've got young, hungry guys behind you. You mentioned you didn't get to see much of the wide receivers. I did. I feel like I saw one note though about Thomas Blackshear, or maybe that was.
Yeah, he certainly looks the part.
Just that he looked good. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about him is, you know, I heard some good buzz about him kind of within a couple of weeks of him enrolling back in June. And then Rusty had some more notes on him as the summer went along. The thing that gets you about him is he looks like a guy that's been on campus a while, because he's a 200-pound kid. You know, like he's there. And you know, it's going to take some time to earn the trust, the route running and side adjustments and all that stuff. I mean, sometimes, you know, guys come off the line of scrimmage and they, you know, they've got three different options of the routes they run. And you know, you run the wrong one, you throw the ball away, you get picked. You know, whatever. I mean, we've seen it before. Guys get called for intentional grounding because somebody runs the wrong route. You know, quarterback drops back, a little pressure on him, airs it out deep, and somebody breaks a curl off. Nobody's in the area. They throw a flag. I think Stetson had one of those in the 2021 National Championship game. So there's – you got to work through those issues, but Thomas Blackshear is certainly – looks like a college-ready guy on the hoof right now, but he's probably just going to have a lot to learn.
It feels like, too, and like I said, I wasn't there, but you were. It feels to me like Georgia has a bit more size in that room than they've had in a couple
of years. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. It is definitely a different look. I mean, you got three guys 6'4 and taller.
That's what I'm saying.
That's something they really missed last year when Colby Young was out, is they missed kind of that 50-50 ball, somebody that – hey, we're covered up. Let's let somebody go make a play, or let's throw a back shoulder. Or let's use somebody even as a blocker. You know, that was one of the things that, you know. Listen, I get why Georgia wasn't as successful. I get why Georgia wanted to screen it last year. I get why they wanted to extend the run game. They weren't running the ball between the tackles very well, and if you can throw it out there on the edge and get five, you can cut sticks in half on first down and do those things. But they weren't as good as they had been in the past because they lacked that size and that physical presence out on the edge, you know, with a total lack of size at receiver. Now that they've gotten that room a little bit bigger, you know, instead of Dylan Bell being one of your most physical blockers, he becomes the guy that catches some of those and turns them into, you know, plays and get the ball in somebody's hand quickly. Zach Branch. I think they've both helped – their ability to get guys blocked in that way with bigger receivers. But I think they've also, you know, with Zach Branch and with Dylan Bell, Sakovi White kind of fits that mold. Expect Nate Frazier to kind of get some of those flare routes. They've given themselves a better chance to get things blocked and to extend the run game that way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said, the size was something that I figured would kind of pop off the page today.
Well, before we wrap this thing up, I want to throw the ball into your court because we are later on today. Anthony Lonan Jr. will make his decision. As far as I know,
I don't believe that's the case. I believe it's going to be
Saturday. That's right. It is right. It's Saturday. For some reason, I had him as August the 1st, but he is Saturday.
Yeah.
So Anthony Lonan Jr. is the last time we're going to talk before we make the decision. I think we just got to give people an update because this might be the last commitment Georgia gets in this class for all we know. There's not going to be many more. They may flip somebody. Somebody may pop up in the senior year. They may try to go after a tackle. Not sure. But this could very well be the last commitment they get on August the 2nd.
That's insane.
But Anthony, for everything we're hearing, it seems like Georgia's still in very good shape to go way out and get this guy from Clark Central High School.
Yeah. Reach all the way over past the Raising Cane's, man. This is one that it does feel like has been trending Georgia for some time. I would say, you know, they were – I think that he was just kind of waiting to see where he fit in with the Bulldogs. The guy's got some very good offers, but kind of became clear, I think, once Georgia turned the heat up and really started pushing that – the Dogs would be hard to overcome. Georgia Tech is in the mix and is among the final two schools that are in consideration.
The other school that's in the mix is NC State. And what made me think about NC State is this guy reminds me a lot of Kentavious Street from years back
when he went to
County High School, kind of that same build, same put together, same type of way. And Todd Grantham wasn't really high on him. Kentavious goes to NC State and his absolute stud. This is the kind of guy that you look at television on a Thursday night and you watch this guy get four tackles for a loss and two sacks and you think, how did this guy get out of Athens?
I think
this is one that I've said this last show. We've been telling fans if Georgia doesn't go after this kid, they're screwing up by not going after this kid. And they did. They actually went after the kid. They took our advice. It's all because of us that they decided to go after Anthony Lonan Jr. And listen, if you want to write checks to Georgia, if you just write them to Dogs HQ, we got him one here. And if he commits to Georgia on Saturday,
I feel like we've had to kind of put a throttle on their calls to our 900 number for our recruiting tips. But yeah, this kid, like you said, man, I feel like if they don't land the kid, they'll regret it. And I think that they will have to see the kid again. And I think he's going to be a really, really good player. In terms of upside, Jake, I think that his upside is as good as anybody in this defensive line class for Georgia. I really do. I think that he has that kind of ability because he's so versatile. He's just so dynamic. And a lot of these guys end up being these kind of big lumbering types, or, you know, they're going to beat you. They're going to overcome you with power. He's got that, but he's got the moves too. And that's like, you don't always
helps you put games away in the fourth quarter.
You don't always get that combo. You might get a big guy who can lean on a guy, wear out your offensive line, and then you got to count on the outside linebacker. This guy can come up, he can meet your offensive lineman, and then boom, boom, he's made a move, and suddenly your quarterback's on his back. I hate to overhype the guy. I feel like we might be a little bit, but
you just dropped a classic Madden line right there. Boom, he's on his back.
Tough act. Boom, he's on his back. Anthony Lonan, though, I think a tremendous, tremendous football player in this class, and I think whoever lands him will have a hell of a player in their
fold. And we think that's going to be Georgia. I think it's going to be Georgia as of right now. We'll see how things pan out on Saturday. Yeah. But we think Georgia's going to add another one. And Kirby said today that Georgia's going to practice 15 times in 18 days. There's going to be some tired dudes. There's going to be some tired dudes out there. Also, probably going to be a lot of poker played in the Georgia Center Hotel this week, from what I – if football camp at Georgia is anything like football camp I used to go to at County High School. So quarters are we changed hands.
I was going to say, dudes are going to be wearing out the Madden this year. I guarantee.
Oh, yeah. Madden and NCAA. NCAA is already out. I don't know if Madden is, but NCAA is already out, and they're going to be crushing it there for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, appreciate you tuning in. As always, thank you so much for being here with the Georgia Show. We'll have full coverage of fall camp at Dogs HQ. We'll have full coverage of the Anthony Lynan commitment, however it goes, at Dogs HQ as well. Shout out to our friends at American Pride Bank, our friends at sunheist.com as well. Get over, use code DOGSHQ20. We appreciate you tuning in. We will see you again very, very soon.